I guess that the teaching is really going to be food for Yahweh, or the ascending fragrance of sweet smell arising in the heavens. So to give our concept, we've got to realize so many things like incense, offerings, are all things that are going up. So why is that? You know, and so we're going to see the whole concept is Yahweh's in the heavens. And so we know in Matthew 6:9-13, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So we have this concept of above us, and in order for us to connect us, we do what we're going to find. We're going to do offerings, ascending sacrifices, incense. So we go to establish that. We go to Psalms 123:1, and where is Yahweh? He's in the heavens. This is all about giving Yahweh what is duly His. Forget about our needs at this particular time. Let's just talk about, am I giving Yahweh what is duly, what He is asking for? So 123:1, "Unto thee have I lifted my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens." Now, beautiful. Psalms 2:4, so we're talking about the heavens. Out of Psalms 2, verse 4. Another illustration of Yahweh being in the heavens. "He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. My Lord will mock at them." So this is Yahweh. And so we have to connect all this with ascending sacrifices. We also see things coming from the heavens. So we see Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. It came from where? The heavens. The fire came down from heaven. How about shutting up the heavens? And that's, if you do what Yahweh does, that's Deuteronomy 11:17. How about opening the heavens, which is rain? If you do what Yahweh says, Deuteronomy 28:12. The Sodom and Gomorrah is Genesis 19:24, but stones from heaven came down. So we're looking at this connection. The heavens separates us from Yahweh. And we go to Ephesians 5:1, and we're going to say, well, the old covenant sacrifices were one thing. What is that going to do with us today? Excuse me. Ephesians 5:1-2.
Can you maybe get you some water?
No, I got some. Thank you. "Become ye there," and this is a great verse to memorize, and this is our duty. "Become ye therefore imitators of Yahweh, as children beloved, and walk in love. Even as the Christ," or the Mashiach, remember Christ is Greek for Christos, so really Hebrew is Mashiach. "Even as the Mashiach also loved you," and here's our example to follow, "and delivered himself up in your behalf." And what happened when he did that?
Offering.
"An offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet smell." So that's what we're trying to attain. How can I be a fragrance, my life be a fragrance of sweet smell unto Yahweh? And we're going to see that. So three things we're going to be looking at in the history of our this word is the present, a gift, the present. The second thing is ascending, usually the present, by heat. You know, so if I put it on an altar, if I put a dead animal on an altar and with no heat, what does it do?
Decay.
Yeah, it's going to decay. Sit there, and it's not going to be a sweet fragrance. It's going to be a putrid fragrance is what's going to happen. Now, the difference in barbecuing or cooking outside, heat underneath flesh or any other thing really puts off a tremendously good fragrance. So that's the second thing. And so the, you have the present, or the gift, and then you, put it on the altar to ascend it, to transform it, send it to, actually what we're doing is sending it to the sending it to Yahweh by way of the heavens. And then he gets to smell it as a sweet fragrance.
It's not really smell, though, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it is. That is. And so obviously that is a figure of speech. No different than the eyes of Yahweh. And I thought Yahweh's not a he. He's not a she. You know, he's the creator. The ears of Yahweh. The mouth of Yahweh, so the nose of Yahweh, or to smell, you know, when it says it's a sweet smelling fragrance, that means you have a nose, right? Mm-hmm. You can't smell without a nose. So obviously, putting that in perspective. So we're going to look at the present, and that's the Hebrew word minha.
We spell it?
M-I-N-H-A. And that is the gift or the present. And we're going to see that beginning in Genesis 4, 3 and 5 with Cain and Abel. And so it came to pass after certain days that Cain brought in of the fruit of the ground a present. Isn't that great? You know, here, who's the present for? The present is for Yahweh. Now, so Melania, did you give Yahweh a present today? Do you even think that way?
No.
So yeah, we need to think that way. Did I give Yahweh a present today? To Yahweh, Abel also, even he brought in of the firstling of his sheep and other fat, and Yahweh approved Abel and of his present, and that's Minha, but of Cain and his present, Minha, he approved not, and anger came greatly, and his countenance fell, or his face fell. Whenever you see the word countenance, it's the word face. That's the first usage of it. Now we're going to see the ascending by heat, you know, which is Ola, O-L-A, is the Hebrew word. People will translate, which we're going to see, a burnt offering, which is incorrect. You know, actually, when you think about a sweet-smelling savior or fragrance from a burnt offering, does that smell good?
No.
So you think, I mean, for us today at least, it just means that there's fire underneath it, but a burnt toast does not smell good. A burnt anything, as we use it today, is not a sweet-smelling savior. The word means to ascend. And so Rotherham is going to translate it not as a burnt offering, ascending offering, you know, which is really great. You wouldn't even know it unless he broke ranks. Well, nobody else breaks ranks. They always do burnt. And why they say burnt, is not the word doesn't mean burnt. It just means we know the sacrifice is going to be consumed completely.
By the fire.
By fire. I mean, it's not going to be some offerings are divided, and you give half to the priest and half to this, and so it's not going to be all burnt. It's going to be eaten. And so that's where the burnt offering came in, but it's you lost the whole aspect of ascending to be a sweet-smelling savior. And that's Genesis 8:20. That's with Noah after the flood. And there is, remember, the Hebrew language is based off the verb. And so, Ola is, let's see here, I forget what it is. It's 5930. It comes from Ala, A-L-A, which is the verb, which is 5927. And we're going to see both of them in these verses. 8:20. And Noah built an altar to Yahweh, and took of all the clean beasts, and of all the clean birds, and caused ascending sacrifices, that's Ola, to do what? To go up. That's Ala. they're the same word. I mean, the verb is there and the noun is there. So the ascending sacrifice is Ola. To go up is Allah. So you got the verb and the noun in the same sentence. And what happened? And Yahweh, isn't that great, smelled. There's, you're talking about the word smell, Wendy?
Mm-hmm.
So there it is, smelled. A satisfying fragrance or odor. So Yahweh said to himself, no, I will not curse the ground anymore. But think of that. Our lives, and we're going to see that, each day present a present to Yahweh, an ascending sacrifice that smells, that's Melania. Wow. Thank you, Melania, for that gift you gave me today. What gift did I give you? Well, I helped this person. I served this person. I prayed for this person. I acknowledged you. You know, so you're looking at all the things that Christ did in behalf of others, and his life as an example was a sweet-smelling savior, or fragrance. Now we go to fragrance, which is re'eh, R-E-A-H. That's Genesis 8:21, which we, I guess we saw that already, and it smelled a satisfying odor. So odor or fragrance is R-E-A-H. And why that's important, well, let's just look at Allah to get the foundation. Remember, A-L-A, Allah, it means to go up, which is Genesis 2:6. Let's go back to that. Its usage.
What do you say Ola is?
Is that is ascending sacrifice. And ascending means to go. To ascend is up. Yeah, so
what's Ola?
Allah is the verb, usage 2:6, to verify.
Ola is what? I forgot to write that down.
Genesis 2:6, Allah, A-L-A. But a vapor went up. Went up is Allah. So what it's showing you, that the word cannot be translated burnt. Because the verb doesn't mean burnt. The verb means to go up.
Oh, I had Ola down there. That's not Ola. That's
it's Allah, A-L-A. A-L-A. And I guess we don't have to go any more. You know, Abraham went up, and that's Genesis 13:1. So we've got to keep that in mind. Another thing that goes up is incense.
Yeah.
But we have to have fire underneath it also to make it go up. And why do we have fire underneath it? Is because Yahweh's in the heavens. And so if I gave Melania, I wouldn't give her incense, I would give her perfume that stays right here, and she smells it. But for Yahweh, I want it to go up because he's up. Let's go to Exodus 30, a little bit on incense. And all of chapter 30 is about incense, which goes up. But it's in the holies, not the holy of holies. But remember, the altar of incense, you got three things in the holies. Anybody remember what those are?
Three things in the what?
The
lampstand, showbread, incense.
Yeah, incense, showbread, and the lamp. The lamp goes on all night, the oil.
So does the beat.
The showbread, there's 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes. And then right in front of the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, there's a curtain here. And actually they classify the altar of incense as part of the Holy of Holies, even though there's a curtain separating it.
Wait a minute, a curtain separated the
Holy of Holies
from the
Ark of the Covenant. So think of the Ark of the Covenant's right here. You can't see it. Nobody can see it. Except once a year, the high priest goes in once a year. But what's in front of the Ark of the Covenant? The altar of incense. But why can't I see it? Because there's a curtain right here. But I would believe there's a cloud of light over the Ark of the Covenant. So when a priest go in, I bet you they could see over the curtain the light behind. And that's Yahweh's presence. Over not the mercy seat, but it's the propitiatory covering. And what was in the ark? Why it's so important?
Yeah, his word.
His word. His words. This book right here. His words are so important that everything is built around his word, and people don't even read the word. Yeah. You know, so you got to realize how important this all is. So remember that on answer. That's chapter 30. We kind of sum it up on 7 through 10. And Aharon shall burn thereon fragrance, isn't that great, incense. And this is what we're going to see on these sacrifices, what we're going to go into in Numbers 28 and 29, is a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. So we have to look at, is my life, you know, sending a sweet-smelling Savior, presenting a gift to Yahweh in the morning and in the evening, every day. That's what this was doing. Morning by morning, when he trimmed the lamps, shall he burn it, the incense. And when Aharon lighteth the lamps between the evenings, shall he burn it. So incense is going up to Yahweh. A continual incense before Yahweh to your generations. You shall not cause to ascend thereupon strange incense. And who did that? A strange fire?
Aaron's sons,
Nadab and Abihu. And they're probably in the Holy of Holies, I bet. And they were stricken down by fire. Where'd the fire come from?
Yahweh.
The heavens.
The heavens, okay.
So just think of the heavens.
Descending.
So you have this descending and ascending and descending and ascending. That, you know, with Elijah and the captains of 50, when they came in and said, come down, old man of God. What happened? Fire from heaven came down. It wasn't fire from the earth. It came up. It was fire from heaven. And that's Yahweh's domain. Verse 9, you shall not cause to ascend thereupon strange incense or ascending sacrifice, nor a meal offering and a drink offering shall you. And the meal offering, the word meal offering is really menha again. It's present. The present. And you shall not pour out thereupon. But Aharon shall put a propitiatory covering upon the horns thereof once in the year. That is, what day is that? Tishri?
Day of propitiation.
10. Tishri 10, which is the day of propitiation. One time a year, he goes into the high priest. I mean, as the high priest goes in, for the sins of the people. So, but Aaron shall put a propitiatory covering upon the horns thereof once in the year, of the blood of the sin bearer for a propitiatory covering once in the year, shall he put a propitiatory covering thereupon. And everybody also will put atonement. And atonement is a bad word. It means at-one-ment. So atonement means nothing. It's not correct. It's propitiatory. And so Rotham does that, breaks all the bad traditions of men. Shall I put a propitiatory covering thereupon to your generations, most holy it is to Yahweh. There is the incense. Now we're going to go into what we're actually looking at is the present, the ascending sacrifice, the sweet-smelling fragrance. And that's Numbers 28 and 29. Why do we do this? It does not pertain to me today. We've got to see what our sacrifices are today. What are our presents to Yahweh each day? And we know to walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and delivered himself up in your behalf. An offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet smell. So think of that. Am I doing that in the morning offering, in the evening offering? Every day am I offering myself up? How? Walking in love. When somebody insults me, I'm not insulting them back. You know, I'm doing what the Word of Yahweh is telling me to do. And that becomes a sweet-smelling Savior. 28:1 And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel, and thou shalt say unto them, hey, this is really good, my offering, my food, for my altar flames, my sacrificing, my satisfying odor. Four things here, look at that. My offering, and that's korban. Remember, a person named Corbin, that's what the word means, offering. And they're spelling it today C-O-R-B-I-N. This is like Q-O-R-B-I-N or K-O-R-B-I-N, but korban. My food, which we're going to find out, is laham, which is really great. Have you heard of Beth Laham? Mm-hmm. So Beth means
house.
Laham means
bread.
House of bread. Now, in this particular case, it also means food, because what we're putting on the altar is not bread. We're putting on animals. Okay, so that's why he's going to translate it, my food. So you're going to, wait a minute, I'm going to give food to Yahweh? Yeah. This is his food. The offerings.
What do other translations translate that?
They'll say bread. Okay. But so I think Yahweh did bread. And the word is laham. So that is bread, but as you can see, well, in this context, bread can also mean, it doesn't have to be wheat, it could be corn, it could be yogurt, it could be, it's food, obviously we know it's consumption, but laham really means bread. But look at that, my offering, my food, for my altar flames, which makes, altar flames makes it go up, my satisfying odor, or fragrance. Shall you take heed to offer unto me in its season? Isn't that great? It's just right out there. Here's what you're going to do, and here's my food that you're going to ascend to me. So you bring in
what's in its season.
Pardon me?
What does it mean in its season?
Yes, and we're going to see that. He's going to start telling you when you're going to do this. And that all the way through 28 and 29.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore shall I say to them, is very important. This is the daily altar flame.
Where are you?
Verse 3.
3. This is the altar flame which ye shall offer unto Yahweh. He lambs a year old without defect, two daily as a continual ascending sacrifice. The one lamb shall thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shall thou offer between the two evenings.
Just like
remember the incense,
Passover.
Just like the incense. See? Also, the tenth of the ephod of fine meal for, whenever you see meal offering, it's the word medha, which is present. Overflowing with beaten oil, the fourth of a hin, a continual ascending sacrifice which was offered in Mount Sinai, as a satisfying odor. And odor, it can be offensive. So really I'd say fragrance. As a fragrance. An altar flame unto Yahweh. Also the drink offering thereof, the fourth of a hin for each lamb in a holy place, shall be poured out as a libation of strong drink unto Yahweh. And the other lamb shall thou offer between the two evenings, like the present, or the meal offering, of the morning, and like the drink offering thereof shall I offer an altar flame, a satisfying aroma or odor or fragrance unto Yahweh. This is Yahweh's food. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We're acknowledging day in and day out, morning and night. And then it starts breaking it down. Let's see here. We got that, altar flame. Oh, let's go to 28:24. It reiterates the food. Like these shall you offer daily for 7 days as the food of the, as the food, there it is, or the laham, of the altar flame of a satisfying odor unto Yahweh. Besides, a continual ascending sacrifice shall be offered with the drink offering thereof. So we're going to see, here's Yahweh's food. Okay, we're giving him a lamb in the morning, a lamb in the evening, presence, meal, drink, oil, and all this perfume. Think of it as perfume ascending. That's what we do every day. Now, what about the new moon? The first of each month, 28:11. And in the beginning of your months shall you bring near an ascending sacrifice unto Yahweh. He's going to tell you. But guess what? You keep doing the lamb morning and evening. These are the daily sacrifices. Now we're going to add something else upon on top of those daily sacrifices. And that's the new moon offerings. Now, and you have to read all this. Now, 28:16, what about Passover? And on the first month, on the 14th day of the month, what is that month called?
Nisan,
the 14th, when Christ was crucified, shall be a Passover unto Yahweh. And on the 15th day, what is that the beginning of?
New moon.
Nope. The feast day.
Feast of unleavened bread.
Yeah, the feast of unleavened bread. Goes for 7 days. And so Passover is the 14th, and then the 15th, the feast of unleavened bread. And then it's going to show you the offerings that you're going to be doing, the presents you're going to be doing, in addition to the regular morning and evening sacrifice. Then we go to 26, and on the first, on the day of first fruits, what day is that? That is what we call Pentecost. The first fruits.
Feast of Weeks.
The 50 days after the day of unleavened bread.
Shabbat. 50 days after the crucifixion.
Shabbat. They call it, it's Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks. And it's going to tell you what to bring on that particular situation. And then on 26, and on the day of the first, Then we get into Tishri, and you know, so Tishri is the whole chapter 29. So you really get to see, if you want to see how important Tishri is, which is the seventh month, which actually was the first month originally. So originally, Tishri 1-3 is Genesis, Tishri 1-3 is when Yahweh said, let there be light. Tishri 1-1 is when it says, I guess that would be Tishri 1-1. You know, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and the heaven and the earth without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And then he said, in 1-3, he said, let there be light. So that's the beginning of Tishri 1. That's the beginning of the Hebrew, or the Ebrei's, new year. This is the beginning of creation. That's called Tishri 1. And then it got changed. Nisan became the first month, and Tishri became the seventh. You know, we've been there before. But here's 29:1. In the seventh month, on the first of the month, a holy convocation. They should do this, is great too. Because remember, so we got, here's the sacrifice we got going. We got the regular sacrifice, which is lamb, morning and evening. And then you've got the meal offerings, the presents, and the oils and the grains and drink. Well, this is Tishri 1 now, which is the beginning of the new year. This is actually Genesis 1-3. But we also know it's new moon. The first day is always new moon. And new moon, what are you supposed to do? There's a sacrifice for new moon. Every new moon. There's 12 new moons. But this is a different celebration in addition to all those other things, because it's Tishri 1. And watch this. And in the seventh month, on the first of the month, a holy convocation shall be there unto you. No laborious work shall ye do. A day of what?
Shouting.
A loud acclamation shall it be unto you. And everybody else is going to put trumpets. And it's not trumpets, it's the word shouting. But we know at the new moon, you did the shouts. You blew the trumpet on each new moon. But this is different, and this is the day Christ was born. It was Tishri 1.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so it's a day of shouting.
Born on the same day that Yahweh said, let there be light.
Right, yeah. And guess what? Who is he?
The light of the
I
world.
I am the light of the world. Yeah. So think of that.
4,000 years ago, they got to go shout, and they don't know why. And then yep. 1 year, they shout. And
well, I guess they know it's the new year, so I guess that could be a shouting. This is creation. And that's what we're celebrating, the creation of the heavens and the earth.
Wow.
You know, so that's one thing. But that is cool. Now we know what else in Tishri is. Tishri 10, the day of propitiation, 29:7. And on the 10th of this 7th month, a holy convocation shall there be unto you, when ye shall humble your souls, no work shall you do. Remember, there's always going to be additional ascending sacrifices in addition to the regular sacrifices. Now we get to the 15th, which is Feast of Booths, verse 12. And on the 15th day of the 7th month, a holy convocation shall there be unto you. No laborious work shall you do, but you shall celebrate a festival unto Yahweh 7 days. Now this is a party. And when you read from here to here, you're going to see how the sacrifices keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger each day.
Wow.
So it's not like, you know, the other 7 day feast was Feast of Unleavened Bread. This, if you start, it'd be interesting just to count, because everything changes every day. It's changing.
Mm. Wow.
Now, we go back to fragrance.
Books.
Pardon me?
Yeah, 13.
Yeah, this, and that's just one day. And the next day, it just starts going and changing.
Two rams, 14 elams.
Yeah, so this is a party. And he says, you will do nothing but rejoice. So this is, there's no mourning here. This is a festival and not a carnival. A carnival, what's the difference between carnival and festival?
Carnal's flesh.
Yeah, carna means
flesh. Yeah.
And so we have carnival in New Orleans. That's a festival of
the flesh.
Flesh, which is wicked.
Mm-hmm. Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. Yeah. So our carnival is wicked.
Do you think the word came from like a festival where they would just?
No, it came from carna, which means we got
fleshly.
Yeah, it's carnivores.
Fat Tuesday.
It's all flesh.
I'm just trying to figure out the origin of where the word came from, like
carnival.
Yeah, I get that, but never mind, I'll ask.
It means flesh.
All right.
It's just, you ever heard of carnivores?
Mm-hmm.
And so, really simple. And so it is the wickedness. We're going to Venice, and they're talking about carnival there could be like for 6 months. And people have masks on because then they can't see who they're doing, and they're doing lust of the flesh, being hidden. So you never want to do a carnival, you want to do a festival, which is usually around feasting, food, and joys. Now, we go back to fragrance, which is Rhea, R-E-A-H, but we're going to see in the New Testament, it's the Greek used the word omai, or osme, which is spelled O-S-M-E, number 3744, but in the Septuagint, for Rhea, in all these occurrences where it's a fragrance, they're going to use osme.
Spell that again.
Oh, it's pronounced O-S-M-A-Y.
Osme. Okay.
They spell it, though, O-S-M-E. So it could be the M-E, I wouldn't say the
Esme.
Osme. But it's used 4 different times, John 12:3. Get back to the perfume of fragrance. Our lives are supposed to be. So you can double check these things on Blue Letter Bible. So you can go to this word, osme, and then it will show you the 6 occurrences, and then you can see where it's used in the Septuagint. And you hit that place using the Septuagint, and it will take you back to Genesis 8:6, where Noah is offering a sweet-smelling Savior, Numbers 28:29, sweet-smelling Savior, and so it's the same word, so you're like, okay. 12:3, you want to read that, Melania?
Yeah.
And tell me what word is probably going to be Asme. Okay, go ahead, Aaron.
Mary, therefore, taking a pound of pure nard perfume, very precious, anointed the feet of Yehoshua, and wiped with her hair his feet, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume.
Fragrance. And we go to 2 Corinthians 2, the fragrance of the perfume. Think of that smell like, and our lives can be that to Yahweh.
Or we can be stench.
Or it can be, not a stench, but inactivity means there's nothing. There's no fragrance. Why? Because you didn't give a gift. And you didn't put it on the altar to light it up, to present it to me. And so it's not offensive. It's not
neutral.
Pleasance. It's just there's no fragrance. And that's going to happen to all of us at different times. But we've got to, if we get into a habit pattern of giving an offering like Wendy, the praying every day.
2 hours.
If you have a habit of praying every day, that automatically is a sweet-smelling fragrance.
Incense.
I would say incense. So incense, like that, but incense really pertains to the high priest. So
I was thinking about prayers. The incense is what they're
prayers. Yeah, the prayers, yeah.
When you're speaking
that's, that's true. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. This is very good. But unto Yahweh be thanks, whoever leadeth us in triumph in the Christ, and the fragrance, there's that osme, the fragrance of the knowledge of Him maketh manifest through us in every place. So our lives should be giving off a fragrance when we walk in doing what Yahweh tells us to do.
Read verse 15.
Yeah, we keep going. And of Christ a grateful fragrance are we unto Yahweh, in them who are being saved and in them who are being lost. And these indeed a fragrance out of death unto death, but in those a fragrance out of life unto life. As for these things, who is sufficient? Those are the places. Philippians 4, 15 through 18. So, we're just putting a new spin on our presence, which is our offering. We're presenting a present that's going to be put on the, it's going to be caught on fire to ascend to produce a sweet-smelling savor to our Father. You know, giving financially, helping people, just doing all the asset faces of the Word. Read His Word, and when you're actually trying to learn it, you know, it has to be a sweet-smelling fragrance. It'd be like any parent coming into a child's bedroom and seeing them without being told to reading the Word of Yahweh.
Studying it.
Yeah. And that is a sweet-smelling fragrance to every parent that would do that. 4:15, we know, moreover, even as Philippians, that in the beginning of the glad message where I went forth to Macedonia, not so much as one assembly with me had fellowship in the matter of giving and receiving. Here's another way, giving and receiving. Save you alone. That even the Thessalonica both once and again unto my need ye sent. Not that I, you know, so they're getting money or whatever he needs to him. Not that I seek after a gift, but I seek after the fruit that has to be abounding to your account. But I have all things in full and have more than enough. I am filled, having welcomed from Epaphroditus the things that came from you. A what?
Fragrance.
A fragrance of sweet smell. Isn't that great? An acceptable sacrifice. A present. An acceptable present. Well-pleasing unto Yahweh. You want to be well-pleasing unto Yahweh? Distribute your mind. And we'll go back to where we were originally, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Read it one more time. And here is the food for Yahweh. Become ye therefore imitators of Yahweh as children beloved, and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you, and delivered himself up in your behalf, an offering and a sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet, you know, sweet smell. We'll end right there.
Excellent. That is sunny.
And we'll hear
from you. I was thinking, okay, do I need lambs? You got to be sacrificed. Sorry.
And we'll hear from our Heavenly Father right now from a word of prophecy to the people. Well, Father, we thank you for that our lives can be a sweet-smelling fragrance unto you. So we thank you for these words. My sons and my daughters, as you comprehend my words and as you meditate upon the truths that I present in my words and in your life, know that I want you to adhere to that, and I want you to exercise and put it into your lives. It will not come to pass unless you insert it into your lives, that you also can become a sweet-smelling Savior unto me, as my son was, by walking in complete obedience. Amen. See you next week.